throughout the nation and around the globe. From his heart to yours, it's Dear James Live, bringing you intuitive insight, answers, and advice to your life questions.
Hello, beautiful soul family, and welcome to Weekly Wisdom and Insights, your home for spiritually guided transformation and empowerment. I am your host, Dear James, and together with the Unseen, Spirit, Source, and Symphony, we look at the current energies, we receive the intuitive wisdom and guidance, and we go as guided. And, ooh, there's a lot of powerful energies. We are in eclipse season. We are in that time frame of the Aries equinox, eclipse season. It is the first day of spring in the northern hemisphere and the first day of fall in the southern hemisphere. And as we usher in, we're looking at three topics this week. We are looking at the number 13. It has to do with Purim and the Book of Esther and the power of the number 13. We're working with the Aries equinox. An equinox in Latin meaning equal and night, meaning that the day and the night are equal. And it brings us to our main theme, which is shadow and light, that we are working with, and let me just bring this up here, we are shadow and light, the Aries equinox. And it's this beautiful image. You see all the shadowing on the left and the right sides of the image. And then here's the sun bursting forth in the center, illuminating the return of light, the return of our life force, our power. And so there's many beautiful aspects here that we're going to, because when we're dealing with the power of shadow work, that is so empowering. And it's not something to be feared. Shadow work, when we stand in our light and we utilize the shadow as an asset, as a tool, it reveals more of our light, more of our purity, more of our goodness. And that is what we're going to be focusing on. And it's our mantra, and I'm going to bring it up right now. My shadow reveals my light. And you see in the image, this beautiful image of the sky and everything, and yet smack dab in the middle is this equidistance, welcome calling, this equal day and night, this equal light and shadow. And so it's the premise and the power of my shadow reveals my light. Welcome, Alicia. The more we work with our shadow, and again, it is not to be feared. The shadow is not to be feared. It is an asset. It is divine. It is purposeful. And when we do shadow work, and this is the Aries equinox, equal day and night, the return of the light, it's to utilize our shadow in the most empowering way, to not be afraid to look at it, because it's there for us. It's there revealing more of our light aspect, our wholeness, our truth, our authenticity. So you'll see how all of this comes together. Welcome, Olivia. You will see how this all comes together. And we're going to start out with our we're going to go to main energies. So let's look at the main energies. And this is very fascinating. So we have the number 3 all month long, difficult beginnings, persevere. So this part of persevering, we are entering a new era, a new age, a new time. And so it may be challenging and difficult, but it's to persevere. 20, we've had this a lot. It's that beautiful image of the owl, the 20, the all-seeing eye, and the eternal wisdom. I'm just bringing it up. There's the owl, the all-seeing eye, this golden wisdom, divine wisdom and knowledge. So we have that as the 20. And then it's an 8-year all year long. So it's uniting and unite, coming together. So remember, bringing the shadow and the light together within. So it is to unify so that when we're unified internally, individually, we unify and unite collectively. Then we have 13, so our number 13. And by the way, last week was a number 13. It was actually the 13th of March. Today, on the 20th of March, the 3, the 20, and the 8 becomes a 13. So we have this theme of 13. And last week, the Unseen said, nope, not yet. You're going to do it this coming week. And so that's what we did. And we're going to address the number 13 this week. And then the one and the three, of course, becomes youthful folly. So the interesting thing about the 3, the 20, and the 8 in the I Ching, hexagram 3, hexagram 20, and hexagram 8, they all share the exact same hidden influence. It's 23, split apart, regenerate. And so there's this aspect that all three of these, very powerful, are saying to us, we're splitting apart from the old. We're splitting apart from the aspects, the shadow aspects of ourselves. Anything, the masks, the labels, the identities, the relationships, the burdens, the things that we have been unwilling to look at. There's Pluto in Aquarius. We're bringing this up, the underbelly of everything, so that we'll release it. We'll split apart from it. And all three of these hexagrams share that hidden influence. And then all three of these hexagrams have their underlining cause is empowerment. On hexagram 3, it's the cauldron. We have everything we need, the cauldron, how we bring everything together. But it's to refine us. In hexagram 20, the underlining cause is great power, invigorate. It's to empower us. It's to invigorate us. It's enthusiasm. It's yes, we can. Yes, I can. In number 8, hexagram 8, its underlining cause is great possessing, that we possess this greatness, this divinity within us, and that it's to shine that light. So you can see that these three are very powerful. And then with hexagram 13, it's about fellowship, socialize. It's coming to meet, encounter. It's coming to meet our soul self, our divine selves, our maker, our creator. It's seeing our reflection and how we encounter that experience. And its underlining cause is army, correct discipline. It means that we have legions, armies, angels, the unseen. We have earth angels and the unseen as this legions, this army of angels and assistants. And it's to use and utilize it with correct discipline. It is not to run roughshod over others and to oppress and suppress and all this. It's about correct discipline. And then number 4 is youthful folly, try again. And so here we're at this precipice and changing from Piscean to Aquarian, and it's all about youthful folly, enthusiasm, be childlike, and try again. Because its hidden influence is return, go back. And the unseen has said to us for a while, we're going back to where we began, but an octave higher. So we're going to have an elevated ability to see, to be. And it's about going back, and then its underlining cause is 49, molting, transform. And you'll see, so shadow and light work, and we're talking, you'll see here as well, we have baptism by fire, we have the phoenix. So this molting, so as to transform. So there's just some powerful, I wanted to start off with the powerful energies that are present in this time. And then let's look at the astrological influences, because this too, again, is incredible. So today, it was late last night on the west coast of the United States into the early morning hours in Europe and the east coast and so forth. So it's the Aries equinox at 0 degrees Aries. It's when the sun shifts and it's the Aries point. So this is literally the beginning of the astrological year. It is the equal day and night. Well, then on the 25th, next Monday, we have the full moon lunar eclipse at 5 degrees Libra. So you're going to see how this Aries-Libra axis, because they are directly opposite each other on the astrological wheel, and this is where the north and the south nodes are. So where we're going, north node, what we're releasing, south node. So we have the Aries equinox at 0 degrees, Aries. We have the full moon lunar eclipse coming up at 5 degrees Libra. Then on the 1st of April, we have, and remember, that's that, it's April Fool's Day, Mercury retrograde, and because it's from the 1st of April to the 25th of April. And so they had said to us, the unseen said, it's like an April Fool's Mercury retrograde, and it's the vision of, imagine like you're in a vintage convertible driving down an open road. There's no traffic. You're driving in the open road. sun, breeze, and everything. And the point of this Mercury retrograde is that the message is about advance, forward movement. You are driving forward. You are traversing forward. And then you're utilizing the brilliance of the rearview mirror and the side mirrors to see, to manage, to handle, to address what's behind us, what's coming. You know, there's that RE, put an RE in front of it. So we revisit, we relook at, we redo. But we don't do it where we're stuck or we're not moving or things are just going haywire. This Mercury retrograde is about forward advance, utilizing, harnessing the wisdom, the power, the ability, the gifts of the rear view mirror and the side mirrors while we advance, because we are advancing. And then it goes direct on the 25th of April. And there's an aspect about this the Unseen had said about Christmas comes early, or Christmas can come early, meaning gifts, benefits, pleasures, things of this nature. So we have all of this, and I'm just going back to the astrological influences. So this Mercury retrograde, Mercury stations retrograde, 27 degrees Aries. And then on the 8th of April, we have the total solar eclipse. It's known as the Great American Eclipse. It is bookending, if you will, the Great American Eclipse from April of 2017. And they crisscross each other. So there's an X marks the spot. So this is at 19 degrees Aries. And then further into April, on the 20th of April, is that Jupiter conjunct Uranus at 21 degrees Taurus. Earthly, grounded. But you see from the 20th, the 25th, the 1st, the 8th, it's all Aries, Libra, Aries, Aries. There's a lot of fire. There's a lot of energy. And because Aries is ruled by Mars, and it represents the divine masculine. It's the creative force. And it's the aspect of us that says we go out and initiate. We go do things. Well, this is the same. And in order to do that purely, cleanly, we work with the shadow. We purify the shadow, the void, and the light. It is about purifying them, not eradicating them. We don't kill the ego, mind, personality. We don't kill the shadow. We don't ignore it. We invite it in. We make peace with it. We stand in the light and we open ourselves to say, let me see what's in the shadows, what's in the crevices, what's in the deep recesses of my being that I'm not wanting to look at, or that I'm willing to look at, more positively stated. Look at it, because when we harness the shadow, it reveals our light. It reveals where we're off course, where we need to course correct. And it's okay. It's purposeful. It's there for a reason. It's only when we allow the shadow to obstruct us, or we become the shadow, we forgo the light, that the shadow becomes darker, heavier, a even denser shadow. To ignore the shadow will create the same energy. However, when we invite it in, when we open ourselves to it, it's one of our greatest assets. It's one of our greatest tools to see ourselves, to see others, and to see the world we live in. And let me just go to the first thing that the Unseen said. They said, the choices we make, the wolf we feed, the world we live in. And so this is a point, because it's the equinox. It is the Aries equinox. It is this equal day and night. It is about purifying them. And so it's about the choices we make, the wolf we feed, the world we live in. And that is both individually. So, and think about this, businesses, corporations, institutions, governments, they exist because of people. People run them. They serve people in their best form. They serve people. However, all of these institutions, businesses, governments, all of these things, they exist because of one thing: people. And so, individually and collectively, the choices we make, the wolf we feed, the world we live in. It's a very powerful message from the unseen. And because it's the beginning of the astrological new year, this Aries point, there the unseen is raising this to our attention. Kind of, again, this shake, rattle, and roll from a show or two ago, this shaking the roots of the tree. They're shaking us loose, free, awakened. They're waking us up and saying, do you get it? And the second thing they said was, because here's what's on offer. Do the shadow work. You know, we make better choices. Feed the right wolf. And the world we live in, because they said, the second thing they said was, miracles abound. Do you see them? Co-create them. So do you see them? Are you co-creating them? We have the ability. It's the magician in the tarot. We are great manifestors. We are co-creators with the divine. And they're saying to us, the unseen is saying, miracles abound. Do you see them? And they can be in the simplest, everyday, ordinary thing. The sun glistening off of dew on the grass is a miracle. It's beautiful. You can see the colors. Look at the fields with all the rains and everything. And we'll see all of these spring blooms and all of this color. Is that not a miracle? It's, what do we see? What wolf do we feed? What choices do we make? And that dictates and represents the world we live in. So let's move forward. We have so much to cover. And again, just showing, bear in mind, Aries, Libra, justice. So it represents the scales of justice, and it's equality, it's relationships, it's the legal system, because again, we're moving forward, Aries, the creative force, with correct discipline, Libra, harmony, balance, justice, equality, equal day and night, equinox. There's all of these messages. And again, with our mantra, my shadow reveals my light. So recognize that what's under, because remember, from the void, from the chaos, from the void, let there be light. So the light originates from the void. From the purity of the void is the purity of the light. And this is an exercise. This is a message about harmonizing and purifying the void and the light, the shadow and the light. And it's also, they said, the unseen said, this shadow and light, the Aries equinox, and an era of transformation. So let's look at why. We're going to go to Chani Nicholas, the astrologer Chani Nicholas at ChaniNicholas.com. And she's just recently redone what she's calling the weekly. These are her weekly musings, if you will. And I found this so incredible. And so on point. She says, I am always flooded by the Herculean effort it takes to interpret a half-baked theory that the most traumatized part of me has come up with. It's too tempting to run with it and construct a narrative where I am the victim, the persecuted, the misunderstood. It's too easy for me to think that life is conspiring against me, to take the emotional debris from the harm I've survived and project it onto everything in my life that challenges my ego. The thrill of being justifiably angry is too alluring for the small, trampled on, and taken advantage of aspects of myself. My inner bands of outcasts undoubtedly think that they will finally get justice once the full fury of their rage is unleashed. She's literally speaking to justice, Libra, fury, Aries, creative force, and this shadow work, this victimhood, that it's too easy to reside in our victimhood. It's easy. It's why these messages by public people, by leaders in the public sphere, they speak to the least among us, to the shadow aspect, because it's cheap, it's easy. It speaks to the diminished. It speaks to the trampled upon. It speaks to the part of us that feels diminished. It's the shadow. However, it's the peace, she goes on to say, once I have gone down that deluded path of worst case scenarios, it takes an Olympic level of psychological labor to reel myself back in, to figure out what is leading me to this torrent of terrible ideas, to ask myself, and this is so powerful, because she is literally saying, here's the work that must be done, and it's Herculean at times, but it is the aspect and the work that saves you, because then you're standing in your light, working with your shadow. So she says, to ask myself, what am I feeling and why? What was the incident that got me here? Is my feeling a proportionate response to this event? And if not, what is the situation reminding me of? But that is only if I can gather the good sense to do so. See, this requires more of us to stand in our light and work with the shadow, to not be the victim, to see that everything is happening for us. Requires more of us. To do anything less than that is cheap and easy. It is so cheap and easy. It's the least among us. It is the least conscious among us. And it means that you abdicate your responsibility and your empowerment, your sovereignty. It's cheap and easy. You just throw it over and follow the crowd. And that goes with number four. Number four from the unseen, monkey see, monkey do. And they said, beware of monkey see, monkey do. And this phrase, and it's number four, it's foundational. This monkey see, monkey do, the act of imitation, usually with limited knowledge and or concern for the consequences. So it's to act or to imitate with limited knowledge. We have invested nothing, just cheap and easy. So we have limited knowledge and or concern for the consequences. We're not invested. We're not thinking about what the outcome is. We're not thinking about how it will affect myself, my family, my community, my business, because it's just cheap and easy. It's lazy. And here, Chani Nicholas, the astrologer, is saying, no, I've got to do the Herculean work. I've got to have the good sense to do so. She goes on to say, it's an exhausting foray into my own shadow lands, but the alternative is so much worse. When I don't do this parsing out, when she doesn't do this work, I end up acting out in situations that are as humiliating as they are antithetical to everything that I say I am and want. When we say we want a better world, when we say we want equanimity and fairness and kindness and peace and a world, well, when we act antithetical to that, it undermines it all. It completely is the opposite of what we're saying we want. Unfortunately, she says, I am not alone in needing to consistently do this work. This is the work each of us must do. And there are too few doing this kind of psychological mining at all. Because it's required, it requires the depth of character and ability to see ourselves. Not what someone else is doing, but what we are doing. What are the choices we make, the wolf we feed, the world we live in? She goes on to say, psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Carl Jung termed this part of us our shadow. He taught that understanding the marginalized, maligned, and socially unacceptable aspects of ourselves opens us to the very medicine we need. See, my shadow reveals my light. It is the exact medicine we need because it is revealing the light. In his words, The shadow is the invincible saurian tail that man still drags behind him. Carefully amputated, it becomes the healing serpent of the mysteries. Enter eclipse season. On March 19th, yesterday into today, Aries season arrives, and with it, so does the next eclipse cycle. The ancients believed that an eclipse was caused by a giant dragon, and remember, this is the year of the wood dragon. In Chinese astrology, it's the year of the wood dragon. So a giant dragon that either swallowed the luminary, obscured, or swiped it away with its saurian tail. As the sun ventures through the initiatory fire sign of Aries over the course of the next month, we'll experience two eclipses, a lunar eclipse, full moon, eclipses on Monday the 25th, next Monday, and a total solar eclipse, new moon, in Aries on April 8th. Eclipses usually occur in pairs every 6 months. They are moments that speak to the personal and collective shadow work we are in need of doing. We are in need of doing this work. We want a better world. We want a better self. We want a better company, institution, government, business. We've got to do the shadow work. They mirror times of great and swift change, events that alter the scape of our lives and world or reveal what's hidden. In the tarot, this is like the eclipses are associated with the tower. They're tower moments. Thunder, shock and awe, tower moments. And they don't have to be tower moments don't have to be negative. They never are. The tower in the tarot, people kind of, you know, repel from it. But again, it's like shadow work. Are we repelling from ourselves? Are we repelling, avoiding, procrastinating, obstructing the growth we need and want? Well, if we want it, there's a tower moment. We want to advance, there's a tower moment. And the tower moment can be simply stepping forward. We can be proactive about it. It does not have to be, you know, hellfire and brimstone and all of a sudden the cosmic 2x4 is coming out and we're being whacked with it. That's because it's reactionary. We're not doing what we're guided to do. So be proactive about this. Eclipses are proactive. It's moving us forward. It's eclipsing things out of our lives so that we have space, we move things in to advance, to renew, to continue. Chani Nicholas goes on to say, they mirror times of great and swift change, events that alter the shape of our lives and world and reveal what's hidden. They also give us a heads up that our conscious, socially celebrated self is most likely about to be swallowed up by our own inner dragons. So any illusions, ego, mind, personality, masks, labels, identities, illusions, stories, and scripts, they get swallowed up. They get eclipsed out. They get eaten by the dragon, the tower. The work of eclipse season is deep and often harrowing, but it's also transformative and ultimately healing. Just before the sun enters Aries on March 18th, Mercury will make a conjunction to the North Node in the same sign. The North Node, where we're going, Mercury, the messenger to the gods. Our ego mind, our inner personal planet, the way we communicate and so forth. So these two are going to conjunct each other in Aries. The North Node is a point in space that tells us where and when eclipses will happen. Thus, it's the point where April 8th's eclipse in Aries will occur. The North Node was thought of as the aforementioned rapacious head of the dragon by the ancients. And because Mercury is a micro megaphone, when it collides with the North Node, it will announce some of the upcoming themes of that eclipse. Mercury will also be entering what we call its pre-retrograde shadow. There's always a shadow, so the first is when it stations retrograde. 2 weeks prior, 10 to 14 days prior, and 10 to 14 days after is what we call the shadow. It will station retrograde on April 1st and move all the way back to this point. And I love this. She says, so much shadow, so little time. So it's to be busy. It's to be proactive with our shadow work during this time because it's starting the astrological new year. On March 20th, today, the day after the sun enters Aries, Mercury will go on to make a conjunction with Chiron, the minor planet often referred to as the wounded healer. Here, the micro megaphone will promote discussions about our deepest wounds, pain points, and the medicine needed to remedy them. Because Chiron was a centaur and was a renowned healer in the Olympian era and so forth of the mythology. So here's the micro megaphone and the healer coming together so we can speak about it. We can actively participate. We can actively look at it. This Mercury-Chiron conjunction is a third foreshadowing of what is to come, as the April 8th eclipse will be exactly conjuncted. Aries represents the self, the energetic materialization of new life, burgeoning creativity, and relentless courage. At its best, this fire sign is bold, brazen, individuated, and self-assured, perpetually and enthusiastically emerging anew. It is the creative force. At its worst, it sees everyone as an enemy. It wants only to win, to conquer, and to dominate. It burns bridges and hope, and it torches all reason and any attempt at reconciliation. This is when the shadow of the ego mind personality of this Aries, this creative force, divine masculine, becomes so corrupted, so overshadowed, burdened, that it destroys. This eclipse season is here to teach us that we all have the potential to be both sides of the coin. Which wolf are you feeding? To quote Carl Jung again, Chani Nicholas goes on to say, to confront a person with his shadow is to show him his own light. Once one has experienced a few times what it is like to stand judgingly between the opposites, one begins to understand what is meant by the self. Anyone who perceives their shadow and their light simultaneously sees themselves from two sides and thus gets in the middle. See, it's the inner work, the soul self, and the ego mind personality self. So we get in between so we're able to see, but we do so by standing in the light. Stand in our soul selves and be able to say, oh yes, I can see where, I know what I want. I know the goodness that I want and that I am. And I can also see where I've gone astray, my shadow. Now allow me to harness my shadow to reveal my light. She goes on to say, the last eclipse season was in October of 2023, and this one is tied to it. It's the next chapter. It's here to remind us that no one can do this inner work for us, that we can't buy our way into self-awareness and certainly not liberation. It's always an inside job. It is dependent upon the choices we make, the wolf we feed, the world we live in. That once we do engage with our shadows, once we can recognize them and refuse to project them onto imagined persecutors or externalized villains, we can more easily interrupt how they show up systemically. See, she's speaking here to the fact that it's too easy to blame others. It's too easy to diminish and divide and say it's them and they're your problem. There's so many examples of this where, again, leaders, politicians, they all want to divide because it's cheap and easy. Yet when we stand in our light, we don't look outward to blame others. We look inwardly to resolve our own shadow, our own deficiencies, our own fears, so that we don't project them onto others. We don't demonize others. We don't dehumanize others. We are all children of God, children of the light. And, you know, do unto others as you would have do unto you. It's not hard. It's not hard to be kind to others. It's a choice. It's not hard to lift ourselves up to do better. We just have to do the works. We just have to be willing to do it. She closes with, I hope and pray that enough of us have learned just how powerful and devastatingly misdirected, unhealed collective shadows can be, and that this knowledge makes us all more dedicated to our personal and shared healing. Because it is both personal and shared. And when we do not do the work to heal our own shadow, when we don't do our shadow work, it is an energy, it is a ripple. And I'm going to bring this up, it's our first quote. Everything in the universe is interacting and exchanging energy in some way. This is by the master. So recognize that when we do our shadow work and we purify, because we are purifying the shadow and the light, it ripples out. It's energetic. It can be felt. And when we don't do that work and we double down on it and quadruple down on it, and it gets louder and worse, that too ripples out. Because everything in the universe is interacting and exchanging energy in some way. Very powerful. Let's move to, I'm just going to touch briefly with astrologer Pam Youngins and her North Point Journal. And here's this beautiful photo that she's using by Zoltan Tazi on Unsplash. And she says, the Aries equinox. The astrological new year begins on Tuesday, March 19th, when the sun enters the first sign of the zodiac. This is also the Aries equinox, the day when the sun crosses the celestial equator in its journey north, and the inhabitants of planet Earth experience the hours of daylight and darkness as approximately equal. Equinox, equal and night, meaning the night is equal to the day. According to spiritual traditions, an energetic portal opens at the equinox, giving us the opportunity to align more fully with the cosmic flow. So we have this opportunity at this moment. That's why the unseen is being so loud and present and forceful. You know, one could say Aryan, energetic, creative force, because they're shaking us. They're shaking us loose and shaking us awake to these truths and this portal, this opening that says, now is the time. So this portal opens at the equinox, giving us the opportunity to align more fully with the cosmic flow. This is evidenced in physical terms by the fact that around the time of the equinox, in both March and September, we are more likely to see the aurora borealis. This effect is due to the tilt of the Earth in relationship to the sun at the time of the equinox, which allows solar wind to more directly enter cracks in the Earth's magnetic field. So the beauty of the aurora borealis and the northern lights and how they ripple, it's energy and it's rippling across. And we see it because it's piercing the magnetic field of Earth. Pam Youngins goes on to say, the eclipse next Monday. Although the lunar eclipse on March 25th is not on the calendar for this week's journal, we will be sensing the impact of the event building throughout the days ahead. Instincts, emotions, and psychic impressions may be more powerful, and we could find ourselves dwelling on the past, especially those situations and relationships that we are now ready to forgive and release. This coincides, so here's the eclipse, here's the Mercury retrograde, we're in the shadow of it. It's all about these things. We're driving forward, and we're using the rearview mirror to navigate, to advance. She concludes with, the unconscious is coming to the surface to be processed. So the unconscious, the shadow, these things that we have been avoiding or repressed or suppressed and so forth, they are being brought to the surface to be processed. And unexpected events, tower, eclipse, will motivate us to take action. See, they're going to, the whole point of this, of eclipse season, of the equinox, this resetting, an era of transformation. It's all coinciding. It's all kind of coalescing together. And remember, a few shows back, we had that planetary pileup. So it was all sitting there. It's like ready to rumble. It's ready to go. And then it's like a race when you watch, you know, on television, when you see a huge marathon or something. Everyone's all stacked up at the starting line. And then, you know, the shots fired to begin the race, and everything starts advancing. Everybody starts moving forward and running forward. It's an analogy of that. We're going to now move to the lucky number 13. And this is another aspect that is coinciding with this time. And as I said, the number 13, and it's lucky number 13. And you notice like buildings, oh, it's bad luck. It's not. It's one of the most treasured numbers, prized numbers. It's like the skull and crossbones. You know, society, powers that be, have corrupted these symbols so that we would not look at them. See, we would avoid them. We would turn away from them so that we would not actually see their innate divinity, their truth. And when you stop and think about this, there's many examples, 12 apostles, and yet there's Master Jesus, 13. King Arthur, and there's variations of this, but typically there's 12 knights of the round table and King Arthur, 13. There are 12 sons, 12 tribes of Israel, who are the sons of Jacob, the father, 13. In the lunar calendar, there are 13 months of 28 days each, which comes to 364, with the one day, quote unquote, out of time. So you see way back these representations of the number 13. This coincides with the book of Esther, and it also coincides with what's called Purim in Hebrew, which has to do with the book of Esther. So here we are. The number 13 is often, and this is from BibleStudy.org, the number 13 is often thought of as being unlucky, with many people avoiding it entirely. There is a fascinating story in the Bible, however, that shows 13 was not only accepted as lucky, it became the basis for a yearly celebration, Purim. We begin our lucky 13 story in the book of Esther, where the number appears more times, 6, than any other biblical book. Persian king Xerxes I promotes a man named Haman to the powerful position of prime minister. This promotion makes him the second most powerful person in the vast empire. Haman soon becomes enraged, however, when a Jewish official named Mordecai refuses to follow the king's command to bow and revere him like a god. His fierce anger moves him not only to seek revenge on Mordecai, but also on all the Jews throughout the empire. Haman's lucky day. Haman hatches a plan to convince the king that the Jews are worthless lawbreakers who deserve total annihilation. Being a superstitious person, he decides to find which day will prove lucky for his evil scheme of genocide to succeed. Starting at Nisan, Abib, the first month of the Hebrew sacred year, Haman has lots, called Pur. So this lots, casting lots. So Haman has lots, called Pur, cast each day to determine which one might be lucky. He continues this practice for a number of days until, on day 13 of the 12th month, Adar, he receives the sign he has waited for. It is on this day of the month that he plans to fulfill his revenge against the Jews. It is possible Haman also decided to appear before the king with his accusations and murderous plan on the same day the lots came up lucky. He almost certainly needed such favor, as Persian kings made it illegal for anyone to approach them on their throne unless they were summoned. Those who dared break the law of the king would receive an immediate death penalty from axe-wielding guards. Even Queen Esther had to have the king extend her special favor through his scepter before she could safely come to him. An edict of destruction. Haman approaches the king and receives the permission he desires to destroy the Jews. He then waits until his lucky day 13 arrives the following month, Nisan, before having the royal scribes write the official edict declaring all Jews should be destroyed on the 13th day of Adar. The edict is then immediately sent to Persian officials, which with copies posted for all people to see. Haman's edict is unusual and especially brutal. It is not only delivered to those working for the king, it is also posted in several languages, in all 127 provinces for everyone to read. All Jews, including women and children, regardless of age, were to be murdered by the empire's non-Jewish residents. As an As a further incentive for carrying out this demonic order, anyone who killed a Jew was allowed to take their land, cattle, and any other possessions as spoil. Destined for failure. Haman's luck begins to run out, however, when both Queen Esther and Mordecai, both Jewish, get involved to save their people. Additionally, though not directly recorded in the Bible, God seems to have had a hand in certain perfectly timed events that turned the tide against Haman. Haman is executed less than 2.5 months after recording his edict of death. Queen Esther then quickly arranges for the king to write a new edict. This decree authorizes all Jews to defend themselves on Adar 13 against all those who would do them harm. When the day arrives, even the public officials defend the Jewish people from being slaughtered. A day to remember. The number 13 would ultimately prove lucky for the Jews. They not only were spared destruction, they were able to rid the empire of all those who hated them. Their influence in the empire also grew tremendously, in large measure due to Mordecai replacing Haman as the prime minister. Mordecai is also given control of Haman's vast wealth, which in today's money was worth more than $150 million. Every year, starting at sunset on Adar 13, Jews celebrate their deliverance on Purim. Purim is this Saturday the 23rd into Sunday the 24th. It's right in this equinox time, this renewal, this an era of transformation, of restoration. The eclipses are occurring. All of this is bam, 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 stacked up against, with contained within this moment. The holiday's name is the Hebrew plural of the Persian word for lots, Pur, which, though initially used to seal their demise, became a reason to celebrate their luck. Now, so keep in mind this lots, Pur, and lots. And we're going to go to, this comes from Stephen Gola on faithwriters.com. The number 13 is a number of great promise and blessings given by God. The number 13 promise is a twofold promise. It always involves humankind, and it always involves God. It always has seasons, times, and circumstances in which God and man participate. The number 13 does not mean evil, but rather it is a most powerful God-given promise that will change the world forever. Some of the aspects of the promise are: the promise is always initiated by God and destined to change the world forever. Concerning man, to obtain the promise is beyond hope. It's impossible, meaning it's beyond man's control. It is not something that they can bring about. It is brought about by higher hand, the unseen, God. Concerning God, the chosen opportunity to manifest his plan of blessing and change, meaning it is upon God, higher source, the unseen, it's their chosen opportunity to manifest their blessing and change. The number 13 promise always brings excitement, hope, and desperation for the promise to be filled. Desperation because it's outside the control of man to effectuate it. We can align with it. We can, as Esther and Mordecai did, act. But the ultimate deliverance is source, God. And lastly, the number 13 promise is always presented in the presence of unfavorable circumstances, a death notice, though in time, the circumstances will give way to the birth of the promise, and thereby this reversal, this deliverance from. And so number 3 with the unseen, they said, rising, rise like a phoenix from the ashes, renewal awaits. And with that, number 3, I then heard baptism by fire. So this rising, and it's number 3, so in association with the Trinity, a Mother, Father, God, Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, this rise and rising, rise like a phoenix from the ashes. See, from the ashes, molten with the hexagram, this molting from the ashes, renewal awaits. So again, individually and collectively. Individually, we act. Collectively, we receive, we advance. We do so micro and macro. We do it together in this baptism by fire. And this is from the phrase baptism by fire is from John the Baptist in Matthew 3:11. And it says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. See, that's the Holy Spirit. It's Pentecost. Pardon me, I've got it. It's Pentecost. It's where the Holy Spirit, and it's depicted when you see Pentecost, it's depicted where there's flames above the participants' heads, which means, and it illumined them, it expanded their consciousness and their abilities. And so the unseen is saying to us, rising, rise like a phoenix from the ashes, renewal awaits. And this renewal is baptism by fire. And it descends, it comes from the heavens above, from source, from God. And there's an attachment, there's an association, is maybe the better correct word, with this number 13 and this casting lots. So let's look at the astrological chart for this Aries equinox. And when you look just slightly, it's right about 1 o'clock, you'll see on the upper right-hand side of the astrological wheel, you'll see a circle with an X in the middle of it. And that is the lot of fortune. That is the symbol for the lot of fortune. And the corresponding hexagram for that symbol, three old masters hanging on the wall of a special room in an art gallery. The keynote is the need to return to source during a confused search for new value in a chaotic society. We're going back to where we began, but an octave higher. It's this return, this need to return to source during a confused search for new value in a chaotic society. We are releasing the old. We're doing the shadow work of the Piscean patriarchal era. There's Pluto assisting us, bringing up all of the goo, all of the underbelly for us to look at, to bring into the light, to purge. There are always moments which focus our minds on the longing to reground ourselves in the great achievements of the past. The number three suggests completeness. Esoteric traditions speak of the threefold soul, or of three fundamental rays of power, of love-wisdom, and of intelligence in action. Meditation, in its deepest sense, is a return to source, an attempt to re-identify oneself with one's archetypal essence of being, our purest authentic self, our soul self, which is triune in manifestation. And now, after confused but challenging wanderings, to identify oneself consciously with this essence. So as we've gone astray, these wanderings, we come back, these challenges. And again, the shadow is an aspect, a tool to assist us. It's there for us. Don't run from your shadow work. Don't run from your shadow. Face it, embrace it, harness it to empower you, to purify you. The finer forms of one's culture provide the means to do this. The great moments of the collective past become an inspiration for new, yet sound beginnings. The seed of tomorrow salutes the seed of yesteryear. At this stage, it is suggested that in the process of transfiguration, the presence of the greatest moments of the past is called upon, as Moses and Elijah were invoked in Jesus' transfiguration. So remember, he goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration, And at his transfiguration, his illumination, baptism by fire, this his rainbow light body, two of the greats, Moses and Elijah, appear before those that are assembled. The seed of the new day depends upon the seed of yesteryear for an experience of the cyclic continuity of spirit. This is the basis for the institutionalized ideal of apostolic succession, the guru ampara, an uninterrupted change of gurus of Indian tradition. So it's our birthright. It's our baptism by fire. It is our apostolic succession, our advance, our moving forward. And all of these things are converging. We're going to move to Venus now on the chart. Men traveling a narrow path seeking illumination. The capacity inherent in every individual to seek at whatever cost entrance to a transcendent realm of reality. See, we're traversing a narrow path, seeking illumination, deliverance, and the capacity inherent in each of us to seek it at whatever cost, this entrance to this reality. The ideal becomes the new reality. This symbol refers to the ancient and eternal symbol of the path of discipleship. The greatness of humankind is that they can always be greater. They can always be more. And see, this is where that speaking to the least among us, because they want us diminished. They want to keep you down. They want to keep you burdened, enslaved, dumb. But we can always, the greatness of humankind is that we can always be greater. We can always be more. And the belief deeply rooted in their inner nature that if they fulfill or when they fulfill the necessary conditions, they can find elder brothers and sisters, those who have come before us, the unseen, those in our lives, who have already attained a higher level of consciousness and will transfer their attainment and light to them. The path is always open to the pure in heart, the mentally aware, the conqueror of emotions, shadow work, and the spiritually self-mobilized. So it's always open to the pure of heart, the mentally aware. I'm consciously aware. I'm going as guided. I'm doing so with correct discipline. I conquer my ego, mind, personality, my emotions, my fears, my shadow, and the spiritually self-mobilized. I'm proactive about it. This symbol represents a new level of consciousness. Humankind is always in the making and remaking. They can always go further. They can always reach beyond. But they must take the first step. Pardon me. Someone can show them the path, but they alone must do the walking. Thus the Zen injunction, walk on. So this says to us, it's always an inside job. It is for us to do. No one can do it for us. And it is based upon the choices we make, the wolf we feed, the world we live in. It is the result of that. Last but not least, pardon me, y'all, my throat is acting up here. An ancient sword used in many battles is displayed in a museum. This is Saturn, the great teacher. Through the effectual use of their will, a consecrated person can become a symbol of courage for all those who follow in their footsteps. Willpower is the ultimate spiritual weapon, and its undeviating use is the certification of individual worth. Wherever found, this symbol emphasizes the imperative need to make use of the will in meeting the basic challenges of the inner life as well as outer adversaries. It is about harnessing our willpower. Our willpower in service, ego, mind, personality, willpower in service to soul source connection, thine will, higher will. With this symbol, we see singled out and strongly emphasized the one power in humankind, which is an assurance of victory in the contest generated by social, or occult wisdom processes in which they have become an active part. The individual must use willpower, yet it is not really their own once they operate at a spiritual level. See, it's not our will, ego, mind, personality will. It's spiritual will, higher will. It is God's will operating through them, which focuses its thrusts. It is, occultly speaking, the power of the brother sisterhood, the energy of the whole operating through the one pointed individual who has made this choice, this awareness to surrender so as to be the most empowered. The messages here, this is Aries, it's Aries season, the Aries equinox. It's the ram with the golden fleece. It speaks to when Hermes sent Jason, and it sends it to Nepheli. And it also speaks to Jason and the Argonauts. So we have this golden fleece that's sent from above. We have Libra, the balance of heaven. This is by the Babylonians. It's 1,000 years. It predates by 1,000 years. It's more current use. So its original use of Libra is the balance of heaven, equal. As above, so below, the yin and yang symbol. My shadow reveals my light. And the opportunity that is here, that's present, and we're going to close with this last quote. It's the beauty of the fact that life becomes brilliant when purpose is a light that shines upon it. The purity of purpose, the authenticity of purpose. That life becomes brilliant when purpose is a light that shines upon it. And you see how the light in this image is piercing the darkness, and it is illuminating nature. It is illuminated, it is nourishing the light, the sun, this life force nourishes us as humans, and every living entity, aspect, its energy is our life force. So life becomes brilliant when purpose is a light that shines upon it. This moment in time, this Aries equinox, the upcoming eclipse season, Purim, the number 13, the 13 promise, this era of transformation, the unseen is calling upon us, and they, I don't even know that that's the right phrase. They're, as much as they're calling upon us, they are shouting at us. They are shaking the tree of life, the roots, they are shaking us loose, free. They awaken. They are awakening us. And that is the power of this message, because again, at some point, this rising, rise like a phoenix from the ashes, this renewal awaits, and this baptism by fire and this whole new world, a whole new way, is upon us. It's present. And they are doing everything they can. The unseen is doing everything they can to wake us up, to shake us free. However, it is a personal choice. The choices we make, the wolf we feed, the world we live in. That comes down to individual will. Is your individual will aligned with thine will, with higher will, higher mind? Or are you walking the path of the unconscious, of what's cheap and easy? Because it asks nothing of you. For me, it's not a question. It's higher path, do the works, do the shadow works, choose the higher octave, knowing that that is the world we will live in. Until next week, thank you all so much for your presence for on this journey each week of the show, and just for everything that you contribute, your energies. We are all connected, and your energies are magnificent and beautiful. So harness the power of this moment and this opportunity, this Aries equinox, this eclipse season, this number 13 promise, all of these aspects, Purim, Lots, harness all of this power to advance in a way that literally sets you free, liberates you from the past, from the shadows, the darkness. All right, until then, I will see you next week. Be well.
You've been listening to Dear James Live. Gain intuitive insight, answers, and advice to your life questions and so much more by tuning in next week and visiting DearJames.com.